There we go. Hold on.
Fantastic.
Yep, we're good. So, Kyle, I'm going to let you go from there.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, everyone. Like Nina said, near the end of August here, hopefully we have some good news from our little reports that are been going on today. I know I did see some new people on there. I saw Andrew White join, and I know Andrew previously was the GM at the Residence Inn out there in Granville, and he stopped by the hotel yesterday. He's now taking over the Residence Inn downtown with Haroldson Hospitality. So just want to give a welcome to them and a new partner that will be joining KCHJ here shortly. So, Andrew, welcome to the group here. Earlier in the week, Diana sent out the agenda and the minutes from our last meeting in June. In order to get this thing rolling here, I'm wondering if I can get an approval in a second on the minutes from June. Or did Diana mute everyone?
So moved.
Thanks, Liz.
Second.
All right. Thank you very much. Next on here, we have our financial report. Doug, I know you sent that out just a little bit earlier, but you want to go over that just a little bit there for us?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone has been well and healthy and safe during the pandemic here. So we're reviewing the July 2020 financials, beginning balance with 66,30,37. And ending was 59,64,83 with today's balance at 59,64,83. Not much happened in July. This is kind of our time of the year where we have a little lull in the financial department. So that's all I have.
I think we had some fees paid out to Leo, right? We're still working on finishing up some paperwork with Leo, correct?
Correct, yep. And then we had just some PNC fees as well, so. That's about it.
Wonderful. And then, you know, the balance is down just a little bit, as we discussed, I think on the last call. Everyone should have received, our lodging partners anyways, the Meyer gift cards that were sent out on behalf of KCHA. So, we did finally get those out. So everyone who is a paying lodging member should have received, those in the mail, to distribute to your employees as you see fit. So, on behalf of KCHA and the board, one, thanks for being a member, and thought it'd be a nice time to give a little back to our members here. So does anyone have any questions on that financial report? If not, if we could get a motion to approve and second.
So moved.
Thank you, Liz.
Second.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not sure who that was, but thank you very much. Thank you much for that. I think we'll get right to the next thing on the minutes here. I think that's the one thing that's on everyone's mind right now is COVID-19 and how it's affecting, obviously, the local hospitality field. We know that a lot of things are pacing well behind right now. One of the big things has been kind of the indoor-outdoor pool. I have an email here from Rhiannon, who is a sanitarian with Kent County, you know, just kind of with an update on the pools. And I guess the update on indoor pools is there is no update. Their most recent executive order 160 says indoor pools in our region are still to remain closed. This order does give an exception for indoor pools that are allowed to open for infant and child drowning prevention classes. And these classes must limit capacity to 25% of their capacity limits. This wouldn't apply to any of our hotels in the area unless they do offer that. Otherwise, they are still closed until further notice, and we do not know when they will be open again. We find out about new executive orders when the public finds out, so we don't have any other insight on time frame for reopening. We also don't know what, if any, restrictions will be in place when the order is lifted. And she wanted to stress again that whenever indoor pools are allowed to reopen again, a negative water sample will be required prior to reopening. So it's important that pools are still being at least minimally maintained while they are closed. In talking with Rhiannon, those negative samples are good in their files for 30 days. You know, if we have an idea that pools might open early, it's probably a good idea to get your sample in so you can open your pool, because you can't open it unless you have that negative result. And with the government, who knows how long those samples will take if they're going to get an influx of pool samples in. So instead, their recommendations, continue to maintain your pools the best that you can and make sure you're getting samples in so that when that order is lifted, we can open right away again. So I don't know if anyone has any questions on pools that I can bring to Rhiannon or anything else, but that is the our latest update on pools right now for Kent County.
The occupancy limit for the 25% reduced for the occupancy load, did they give any clarity if that's regarding the load for the pool room itself or the facility as a whole?
I do not know. She did not
clarify. It's probably that room, but
I think it's just a room, yeah.
Okay.
I would assume.
Yeah. Debbie, thanks for just sitting here not doing anything.
Anything else? All right. Well, I guess we'll bring Rachel Crowther in. Many of you guys saw an email come out, I think through SurveyMonkey, in regards to the paid leave under Families First Coronavirus Response Act. And Rachel posed a series of questions. She was able to compile all that information and put together some, I guess, a good insight as to what, you know, hoteliers and others might be facing going forward with children not being able to go to schools or in-person learning, what that might have an impact on our staff. So, Rachel, I thought I'd bring you on here if you want to go over some of the results, and maybe open up to any questions. Maybe.
I can see the picture. Correct. I don't see. She's not on video. She shows a picture.
Hey, Rachel. I don't know if you're out there. You're muted, and it's not letting me unmute you.
Well, we can come back to Rachel. She has some technical difficulties. We can always come back to that if necessary. And then Diana, did you have anything on our KCHA for 2021? I see that on the agenda here.
I just wanted to just start having the conversation about what our year is going to look like. Typically this time of year, we start putting our goals and plans in place for next year. Renewals for membership typically go out in November, due in December. So I just kind of wanted to see if anybody had any comments or discussion points for as we move forward. And it does look like Rachel is unmuted. So if we want to go back and let her give her an update on her report, that'd be great.
Perfect. Rachel, take it away.
Can you hear me now?
We sure can, yes.
Okay, great. Well, okay, so... Such is life right now, right? So the child care survey was something that was really important to me, just because, you know, I've got two kids in elementary school, and trying to navigate this, how do I run my hotel successfully and help homeschool the kids' virtual learning successfully? I can't be the only person having these same questions about how I'm going to manage both and be successful at both. So, you know, I wanted to see where everybody's heads were at, because I feel like I'm not alone in this. So there has to be other people thinking about this. And lo and behold, the results of the survey, which I did share on our Facebook page and then sent to Diana, reveal that, yes, it is on a lot of our minds. And the majority, 86% of the salary managers who took the survey, are thinking about this. And I think what was telling, and I think that's on each one of us to go and seek out more additional information, is that a lot of people aren't familiar with the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which is an amendment tacked onto the FMLA. And it's not applicable to a lot of companies, but a lot of companies it is. So it really is a reaching out, and looking at the emergency paid sick And then the medical leave expansion that's tacked on to the FMLA right now. So, and it's through the end of the year, but, you know, I encourage everybody because 54%, more than half of the respondents had never heard of that. And that just means it's not being communicated from our management companies, to the properties, what's available for folks whose kids are sick or have to be at home for school and don't have childcare. So, but the point of this, the whole point was to start a conversation about how our industry is going to adapt to the needs of our working employees and the working managers. And some of the comments reflect that they're very worried about how our staff is going to receive this. You know, it's going to be a burden financially for our staff. You know, we've talked about it with the staff. I'm reading some of the comments just so you know. You know, we're all going to do our best to accommodate them. But I think one of the things that in talking about this week is, you know, we're 24/7, 365, you know, industry. So we can't clean rooms when it's convenient for you to come to work at 8 o'clock at night. You know, the guest checks in at 3. So how are we going to manage when we have 5 housekeepers who can't work until after 4 o'clock? Do we just lose our good teammates who've been with us since the beginning of COVID because they don't have childcare? And that's, I think, where my head's at. Anybody who has a team right now probably has the A team, the team that's been with them through this whole thing, and they don't want to lose them because we've been there for each other, and now we're saying we may have to lose them, and that just to me is like, we've got to have another way. So, you know, and somebody had said in the, you know, it's all going to fall on the GM. Well, I think a lot of it's already fallen on the GM, and now we're going to add more to the GM. Well, what if in my case, and again, I'm using myself as an example because that's what I know right now, the GM is also facing the same problem. So now who do I look to? And I think the choice is, well, you could resign, you know, or go on FMLA, and none of those things sound exciting for somebody who wants to be at their property because they love what they do. So that's kind of where I'm leaving the results of the survey, and you can look into them in more in depth, but I think the whole point was, is this a thing in our industry in Kent County? And the results say, yes, it is. And yes, we are concerned. So there's got to be some ideas out there. And if we can help somebody, one person, find a solution to this problem, then I think we've done our due diligence here. So.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel, again, for sending that out and kind of, you know, having everyone kind of realize that this, you know, this may be an issue. And you know, like I said, it sounds like it is for a lot of hotels, and you know, finding a way for hotel GMs and managers to think outside the box and pivot a little bit as to how we can, you know, still run our business while, you know, accommodating our team members. You know, and just trying to figure out what that's going to look like. You know, I don't think there's one right answer for everything that's going on. It's just gonna be another one of those challenges that we have to face, and you know, just kind of see what the first couple of weeks bring and see how that looks out. So we don't want to lose our people, but it might be time to get creative, the best that we can, and you know, try to find some different solutions. So really appreciate you sending that out. Thank you to those who responded to the survey, left comments, and I think this would really give us a good idea of maybe what the fall school year is going to look like for our associates and going forward here. So I just wondering if anyone had any comments or concerns on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people on the call were part of the respondents, but I'm curious if anybody else has any thoughts on this as well.
I mean, I know for our hotel, specifically speaking, like with the housekeepers that do have school-age kids, we are going to offer the housekeepers the ability to bring their children to work, where we would put them in a guest room or space them out in our meeting space that would allow the workers to still work, but then also be a little bit present with their children. we figure it's you know, better for us to have the associates who are going to be there. If they have to take a break every hour or two to tend to the children and see, you know, how the schoolwork is going, for us, that's better than losing that associate.
Hey, Kyle, I have a question. Is that your hotel, or is that like a Lodgeco company-wide thing?
This is my hotel at this point.
Okay. So have you been, has it been kind of given to each hotel to make their decisions that's
yeah.
what's best for their property? Okay.
Yep. And we looked a little bit into the family first Corona Relief Act, and I went through that as if I was an employee of the hotel that had to go home to, you know, to teach my children. Unfortunately, people in my hotel don't qualify for any of the extra leave. So at this point, it's something that we're not going to be able to offer a paid leave to those associates. And again, trying to figure out the best way to still retain the associates, I mean, and but then also still run our business.
Well, and I will tell you one thing that has come up in my conversations about that, because it's so restrictive as to who qualifies for that, is just saying to our management companies, you know, why not adopt those same ideas and you know, policies? They already exist in a law, so why not just bring them to the company our size?
Yep.
And extending that. So anyway, that's something that I'm working with. This survey was also sent to my management company. So, you know, over 100 hotels for gathering same information, but just for the management company. But I am curious, you know, what other management companies are doing creatively. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it is important to take care of our associates, you know.
And I think it's good. And Rachel, I'm happy to help you if you're willing to kind of, to gather these ideas of what member properties like Kyle's are doing and put together a running list and offering sounding boards. Because, I mean, Kyle, I'd be interested to know at the next meeting how that's working out and how many people are taking advantage of it. You know, what challenges are you dealing with? You know, what are their age restrictions? What amenities are being offered in there, you know, the TV, and you know, how do you keep kids from arguing over who gets the TV? You know, I'm just kind of thinking on it.
Right.
Put those kids in there so that we can kind of provide some ideas to our members that will be looking to do similar things.
Yep. And I think, you know, we're fortunate to be set up, you know, obviously with low occupancies right now, we have the availability at the hotel, and, you know, our guest rooms are set up ideally for virtual learning. You know, we have the Wi-Fi that's already in the room here. We can provide a space that, you know, we can space kids out per room so a kid can have the room to himself, and be able to not be distracted by the things that are going on. And we're able to provide those things that maybe they can't be provided at home. You know, who knows what that looks like. And I said, I don't think I only have one or two employees that this might be an issue with, but it's definitely something that we're going to have offered to them once the school year starts.
Well, and I think also
you just made a really good point. Oh, sorry, Kyle. I was going to say you made a really good point that there might be school age kids, so I'm talking elementary, but there may be high school kids at home who don't have quality internet, whose parents feel comfortable leaving them at home to do the schooling while they come to work. But your point being, we have really good internet. That might be a really good incentive if you're allowing employees to bring children. Yeah. So I think that's a really good point. Just because they are old enough to be left home alone doesn't mean they have access to the quality, you know, tools, resources to be successful at the virtual learning. So
correct. Yeah.
And I think that there are some opportunities here for us to also showcase what we're doing in Grand Rapids to the other communities around the state, the other hotels, and also even to tell the story to the local media about how we are, you know, making lemonade out of lemons right now. And so let's kind of keep in touch. If anybody on the call starts to put together plans at work, please keep myself informed and I can pass it on to the board and to Rachel. And then Rachel, you can use it for your outreach. But I think we can use this to help tell a positive story about how our industry is taking care of its employees and their children.
Yeah, and you know what I'll do? I will create a Google document that is editable so that we can all start adding in real time what we're doing, and we can all see it and share it. And yeah, yep, we'll do that.
Perfect. Any other comments on the Family First Coronavirus Response Act?
Yeah, I've got one, Kyle.
Yeah.
The survey showed that 63% of whoever responded are not hiring in anticipation of some staff members needing some time off. This is the third week of people not receiving their additional federal unemployment. So I'm sure there's people that could use some extra cash where you could come in and work one or two shifts per week and you're still not going to jeopardize what your state unemployment is. So, I mean, I feel like that's a fairly simple idea. I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, I'm one of those people right now that is unemployed from the MRLA and has lost that $600 per week for 3 weeks now. So I feel like there's probably quite a few people out there that are interested in coming in and working a few shifts just to pick up a little extra cash during this time until the extra federal money is figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we definitely probably have a pool of candidates that are going to be here. And, you know, I think it'll be different than maybe what we've seen before where, you know, we hire, you know, 6 to 10 full-time associates where that might be more associates on a part-time level where they can only work Mondays and Thursdays or however that goes. So you know, your staff might expand, just more workers with less shifts, knowing that, you know, there is a greater demand to be at home with your kids to do the distance learning, everything else that's going on. But, you know, still have that opportunity to work some shifts here.
Yeah, I just think every hotel is going to be in a unique situation because you may have no one that this impacts or you may have a lot of people, and it might be beneficial to build a grid of, you know, if you need to be home Mondays and Thursdays, let's hire a part-time person that could come in and help cover those shifts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think every school district is going to be operating a little bit different as well. So I think you just need to get creative in that regard.
We definitely have had to get creative with our part-time employees, and we have a lot of part-time people working limited hours, limited days to kind of make it all happen. At the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we had a few core people that were open availability. It wasn't a problem, but now we're really piecing it together with a lot more part-time that we might see once a week for one shift or a half a shift. And if that's going to work and get us through, that's what we're going to do right now. It's a lot more on the scheduling side, but you know, to find someone that's going to have full on open availability could be very hard. And it's going to, you know, take them, if they're new to the hotel, it takes them time to ramp up too.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind, Will, that you said every school district is different, but the one constant is that if we move backwards to phase 1, 2, or 3, every school district is virtual online learning. So that's what's going to happen. So we may have, you know, virtual learning over here and in person over here, but if we go backwards as a state, then we all go to virtual. So we have to be prepared to pivot like that too as an employer.
Yeah, my other comment is the qualifying for the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. One of the bullet points says whose school or place of care is closed. So is closed for in-person but virtual class, does that apply? Or is it just closed completely like back in April and May when that was originally written?
And that's a good question, and it almost seems like it's open for interpretation, but then not.
So,
yeah.
I guess that could potentially be a question for John McNamara over at MRLA.
Yeah.
Well, because I think we have some really, you know, some hurdles to face going forward. And I would implore, you know, all the members here that if, you know, we do come up with different ideas or something is working for your hotel, you know, that we're able to share it amongst amongst the community here within the association. You know, we're all going through this thing together. It's not like, you know, some hotels are exempt from COVID and everything that's happening. So, yeah, Rachel, if you're able to put together, like I said, like that Google document that we can kind of bounce ideas off each other in real time and see what might be working, what might not be working, should be able to help all of us, you know, navigate these uncertain next 3, 4, 5 months here.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Does anyone have anything else on that, or we want to go back to Diana with kind of the thoughts we talked about for 2021 for the association?
So I'll just restate, you know, I just didn't know if there's anything else that people wanted to talk about. I mean, Rachel came to me with this concern and took the leadership to do the survey, put the survey together and compile the results. So anybody else who has concerns or issues like this, please do reach out and let me know, and we'll try to put it to the team, whether it's the board or the entire membership, to brainstorm and try to find some solutions to some of these situations that we're all dealing with right now in different ways.
Yeah. That sounds fantastic. So yeah, if you guys have any ideas, shoot them in an email to us. Let us know kind of what we have going on. And we'll try to tailor some more of the association to those ways going forward into 2021. So, with that, I'd love to get these monthly reports, get them rolling here. And right off the bat, we have Experience Grand Rapids. I think I saw Kate on earlier. Kate, do you have anything for us at all?
Yeah, I've got a couple updates. One, we just launched this morning, the Bridge GR is the webpage, and the Bridge is a series of events that's going to be kicking off next week and taking place all through September. So this is live in-person events, mostly downtown, but not all. Following all the state orders, limited to 100 people, all outdoors, masks encouraged, 6-foot social distancing, all of that put into place. This was an effort that Experience Grand Rapids, the Chamber, Downtown Grand Rapids, Inc., and the city came together to start brainstorming pretty much the day the Art Prize was announced to be canceled, to try to fill something in that fall gap. So there are a bunch of different events happening, everything from like the Asian Pacific Festival, Glimpse of Africa, a lot of the events that were canceled all throughout the summer or supposed to be happening at full capacity this fall are rescheduling in a smaller, hopefully more responsible way during this time frame under the Bridge umbrella. So that press release went out this morning. It's on our website, but like I said, thebridgegr.com is the list or the link. And I just want to make sure everybody knew about that because it really came together quickly and we're just starting to get the word out and it starts next week. So quick timelines here. Other than that, we wrapped up Restaurant Week last week and that was really successful. We had over 2,000 people that had the digital pass on their phone and over 1,000 restaurant check-ins. So we are really happy with the turnout. You know, we also launched that pretty last minute and just being very agile with making it work in the pandemic. So that went very well. Other than that, I think that after this on the agenda is CTA. We did have to, and I know a communication went out to all of our partners, but we did have to permanently lay off some of our staff members, and our CTA program is currently on hold indefinitely until we can figure out staffing and funding for that program. So wanted to let everybody know that. I know that did go out, but not all of you maybe get those emails. And then I think after this, I don't think Angela is on, but maybe we should ask to make sure the diversity update, not really a diversity update, but Angela has been very involved in the Bridge event and making that a diverse effort as well. She's been on that committee from the beginning. So wanted to mention that. We're ramping up our marketing. We've got, we were kind of holding back, waiting to get pushed into phase 5 with the governor, and we're now, we're still in phase 4 at the state level, but we are ramping up our marketing and trying to just take advantage of the good summer weather and people traveling before this whole school craziness starts here in the next few weeks. So full speed ahead over here at Experience Grand Rapids.
And just as a note on that, I did reach out to Experience GR about the WAVE Awards, and I did hear back from Andy, who is now taking over that. And she's going to just reach out to see if there's any way that that could go off. My thought was, I understand that it's an expense and some timing things, but man, it would sure be nice to do something positive for the awards and people that have been working through all of this, and to recognize some of those people, and maybe some of the sponsors would still sponsor the awards, and maybe the Food, Wine, and Beer Fest, which probably will not happen, could at least do something virtually. So I have expressed my interest in, you know, is there any way that we can pull WAVE off this year in at least some capacity, just because I think we need some positive things right now and something to look forward to. If there's a way we can do it, I'd love to figure it out.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Kate, for the update with Experience GR. Looking forward to seeing what you know, what the rest of these festivals in the in Bridge GR looks like over the next month and a half here. So with that said, I just think, we can run right to the sports commission here. I think I saw Katie on earlier.
We jumped off. Alyssa's going to give her update. But before she does, I just wanted to say, with very sad news, after 3.5 years, I have taken another job. So I am leaving WMSC, and my last week will be the 31st. So if you have any questions regarding leads in our system, they can be directed, or in PartnerNet, they can be directed to Alyssa or Katie. So thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you for your time with the commission. We're going to miss you down there, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Just some notes from Katie. Game Day USA dates are out, and Athletics, which is their new housing program, is going to start sending out their RFPs. For current restrictions and COVID, our gala has actually been moved to June 30th of 2021. But we are hosting an inaugural golf outing this year on October 12th. So if anyone wants to sign up or sponsor a game or a hole, or is interested in the event, you can contact Katie. USTA September 12th through the 14th has been canceled. And our staff at WMSC is on reduced hours, so our office is now closed Fridays until the end of the year, if you guys don't hear back from us any sooner than a Monday. But that's all from us.
Gotcha. Yeah, bummer about the gala and having to move that with Jack and everyone that was supposed to be coming in. But, I mean, exciting times with the golf out. I think there should be a flyer or a brochure going out for the golf fight if it hasn't gone out yet. So keep your eyes peeled for that email there. Do we have anyone from WMTA on with us today? All right, we'll pass right along there. Let's head over to Will, Women in Leadership. Liz, do you have anything for us at all?
So right now we don't have any current events planned for Will. We did have some people that were able to get out for the blood drive. So we did get 8 pints donated. Our goal was 15, get to 8. So at least we were able to impact the community. I know that my donation are Spectrum. So that's wonderful that we can help people right here in our own community that need that blood. But as of right now, anybody that wants to be on the Facebook, needs support, just wants to chat, go ahead and ask to join. It's Women Hospitality Grand Rapids. If you just search that should bring it to you. We're just keeping kind of in contact there. But as of right now, we have no events currently scheduled.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for the update there. And thanks for hosting the blood drive at our hotel. So you forced me to give blood for the first time. So really, really appreciate that there.
Did you, Kyle?
I did really good. I did a double donation. So I figure if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it big. And I did good. I got a couple cups of juice afterwards. So it really was a successful day for me. I was pretty, pretty happy with it.
A lot of benefits there. Good to hear.
No, big time. Yeah. Do we have anyone from Grand Valley on? All right, skip right through there. Anyone from Ferris on the call today?
Yes, I'm on. It's Amy Dory, the director of the program. And
hi, Amy.
Hi, how is everybody doing? Good. Yeah. Finally get to come in, at least by Zoom. I rarely can make it down. I'm excited to see all the faces and hear the updates. I'm from the higher education environment. I don't think there's any, you know, news flashes. Internships, of course, the collapse of those opportunities has created just an ingenious kind of innovative approach. We're bending and flexing, providing some accommodations in the number of hours, and then expanding what we consider to be the traditional realm of hospitality into a lot of just frontline service-related roles, pressing our students to look for those opportunities where they can develop the fundamental soft skills but still proceed towards graduation at a timely rate. And then for fall, obviously this is the big unknown for us. Currently, Ferris is scheduled to be face-to-face. Most students can creatively build a schedule that allows them to be fully remote. We're offering everything traditional face-to-face to a high-flex blend, which means that we will have students in class as well as attending remotely using OWLS or what they call a GoPro 360. And so that technology is slowly being integrated into all the classrooms. And then, of course, the traditional fully online asynchronous, which just simply means we're going to lecture by Zoom and meet with our students at scheduled times, to the fully independent, you can do the work whenever you want to, traditional delivery method or concept of online. So there's really something kind of across the board for everybody. And I think that that's kind of what all institutions are looking for. We did have the surprise announcement from Michigan State that they have transitioned to a fully remote delivery. So I think anyone that's not in that top layer of administration now is holding their breath. So I know a lot of us here at Ferris are holding our breath that Ferris will not make that transition because we know the vital importance of face-to-face engagement to prepare our students for our industry, but we'll continue to adapt, and we are ready when the industry recovers to continue to provide students.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think it's just a really, a time we have to be flexible with all these things, so it's going to be really interesting to see what the first couple of weeks bring on, at school. You know, unfortunately, hopefully we don't see an incident like we saw down in North Carolina where, you know, the first week there was an outbreak of 150 students that developed COVID when those classes were going on. So fingers crossed that we're able to keep everyone safe, once school starts here. And I'm wondering if we had any updates on Michigan Cares for Tourism. I think last time we said that the September event is canceled and that 2021 is being finalized right now. I wonder if we had an update on that at all.
Not that I'm aware of. I would like to jump real quick, Kyle, back up. Amy is the Michigan Hospitality Educators Alliance Career Fair. What is the status of that in early November?
The status currently is that we are looking at delaying that event until the spring, providing opportunity for some more stability in the planning, and then understanding that facilities will be in a much better place to understand their needs for the upcoming summer internship roles.
Great. Thank you for that update.
Perfect. Well, I think that should wrap up the monthly reports that we have here. But Diana, do we have a location yet for the September meeting if we think we might be able to meet in person?
I have not. What I'm going to be doing is reaching out to those places from earlier this year that we had to cancel on.
Yep.
One was the theater downtown. However, we are still tentatively scheduled to be at Canopy in October.
Yep.
And the other would be to see about the sports commission or to look for an outdoor venue that would be good for September. Just kind of as I mentioned before, normally November we don't have a meeting because of WAVE and the Grand Rapids International Wine, Beer, and Food Festival, which likely will not happen because of capacity, as well as issues with staffing and volunteers from the colleges that are potentially changing up their dynamic for the year. If that happens, we may look to just host a regular meeting in November as a change. And then still hopefully we can have some kind of big celebration in December that we're making a turn and things are looking up. So right now, you know, just given where we're at, an indoor event potentially for September, we'll just play it by ear, and I'll probably make an announcement on that right after Labor Day.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I think we should be able to get into Canopy in October. I don't know if anyone from Canopy is on, but they have a temporary open day right now of September 8th. So, you know, we'll give them a solid 5 weeks to get everything under control before we invade the property there in October. And then I don't know if anyone had anything else to discuss. If now, speak now or forever hold your peace, and then we can move to adjournment. We can enjoy this beautiful Thursday afternoon here. All right. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. And do I have a second?
Second.
Can I second? Is that possible?
I second.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you for taking the time again today. Really appreciate it. Enjoy this Thursday, and we will all talk soon. Hopefully we can do this in person soon.
Great. Thanks, Kyle.
See you guys.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.